This is Scott Becker with the Becker's Healthcare Podcast. I'm thrilled today to be joined by Dr. Michael Abcon. Dr. Abcon is the president and CEO of the Tufts Medical Center and the Floating Hospital for Children. Thrilled to get a chance to visit with Dr. Abcon today. Dr. Abcon, can you take a moment and introduce yourself?
Sure. It's nice to speak with you, Scott. So I'm a physician executive who spent my career working to improve our healthcare systems, in terms of the quality of care that we're able to deliver for patients, and also the systems that our caregivers use to deliver excellent patient care. I've been fortunate over my career to work with some great teams, both in the United States and Canada, and have really had a focus on quality, safety, and performance as my primary motivation.
I want to ask you two immediate questions. First, tell the audience a little bit about the Tufts Medical Center and the Floating Hospital for Children. Then I want to ask you a little bit about the Canadian healthcare system versus the U.S. healthcare system. There are so many things going on in our own healthcare system where there are a lot of questions about whether we should have a more national approach or more Medicare for All approach. But let me start with having you give us a minute or two about the Tufts Medical Center and the Floating Hospital for Children. Then I'd love to hear some of your thoughts on Canada and U.S. healthcare.
Sure, I'm happy to do that. Tufts Medical Center is a roughly 400-bed academic medical center in downtown Boston, whose history goes all the way back to the founding of this country. One of our founders was Paul Revere, who helped create the Boston Dispensary. And over the last 200 years, we've played an important role in the Boston healthcare ecosystem. We're the primary teaching partner of Tufts University School of Medicine. And although we're one of the smaller academic medical centers, we have one of the most complex patient populations in the country, with a lot of patients requiring high complexity multidisciplinary care. We have one of the larger heart transplant programs in the country. We also have an integrated research enterprise that is among the top 10 in the United States for freestanding hospital research enterprises. And we are a founding member of a multi-hospital healthcare system called WellForce, which includes two community hospital partners, a large integrated physician network, and a home care foundation.
So it's one of the great transplant programs in the country for hearts. I know a research program that's almost second to none. I know 75 newly hired PhDs and so forth, and just a magnificent research program. What else, when you talk about Tufts, makes you beam with pride?
Well, what I really am proud of here is the culture. I just finished a week of caring for patients in our pediatric intensive care unit and really got the chance to experience that culture firsthand. This is a place where people all contribute in their own ways, but with a single-minded focus on delivering great care and providing a great environment to work in. It's really a special place in that regard, and it's a place where one can get a lot done and where one can really enjoy phenomenal teamwork as we bring our best to the bedside.
And the title, Floating Hospital for Children, explain that to us who are outsiders, what that means exactly.
Sure. And the Floating Hospital refers to the fact that the Children's Hospital was really founded on a ship in Boston Harbor at a time when we believed that fresh air was a really central ingredient in helping people overcome illness. And we've kept the name as we, many years ago, relocated the hospital from the water to land and then to our current campus.
Fascinating. You really don't know, if you don't know the system, whether it's a hospital that is on a ship or whether floating means at several different locations. And I did not know the historical reference, so thank you very much. Another question. You spent time in the Canadian healthcare system. You spent time in the U.S. healthcare system. There's so much discussion now about Medicare for All or nationalized healthcare. Any thoughts on pros and cons of a Canadian system versus U.S. system, if you're comfortable visiting on that for a moment?
Sure. I mean, we are at a time right now of the potential for incredible transformation in our healthcare system. We're on the precipice or on the eve of national elections, where I believe healthcare will be a really important part of the platform. We also are coming out the other side of the COVID-19 pandemic, which has really helped illuminate many of the challenges in the U.S. healthcare system, including and has also created new challenges in terms of the potential for many more people being uninsured. For the 5 years from 2013 through 2018, I had the great privilege of being the CEO at Canada's top children's hospital, the Hospital for Sick Children in Toronto. And in that capacity, I worked very closely with the Ontario government on health system funding reform, the introduction of pay for performance and value-based healthcare, and a broad range of projects related to improving quality and safety. When I went to Canada, I knew very little about the Canadian healthcare system. I knew everybody had coverage. I knew the government was centrally involved, but I'm American. I had spent my entire career in U.S. healthcare. And I left with a deep appreciation for many of the elements of the Canadian healthcare system. First, I came to appreciate that the quality of care and the range of services that are available are every bit as good as what I've experienced at the best of hospitals in the United States, and I've had the privilege of working at some of the very best. The care at the bedside, I would say, is indistinguishable. The quality of research and innovation, I would say, is also pretty much indistinguishable. We differ in scale in the sense that the Canadian marketplace is about one-tenth the size of the U.S. And so in terms of research productivity for the entire country, it does look different. But the quality of the science and innovation at the University of Toronto hospitals and the other great teaching institutions of Canada were every bit as good as what I was used to in this country. What I came to really appreciate was the social justice of the Canadian system. Everybody had coverage, whether people could pay for their care was never a question. The moral distress that U.S. Caregivers and hospital administrators sometimes have, having to deny care or shape programs that don't necessarily provide the most socially just access, was never a part of what I experienced in Canada. I also came to appreciate the importance of the government's role in addressing things that markets don't do very well. Markets don't really provide a vehicle for getting care to people that can't afford it or can't overcome the barriers to care. And the government in Canada was much more planful, made many more investments to help facilitate population health-oriented objectives and addressing in a more connected way the interface between the social care and the healthcare systems. The other thing that I really appreciated, which I would say I appreciated even more as I reimmersed myself into the U.S. healthcare system after I came to Tufts, is with a single-payer system, the complexity of administering the range of contracts and transactions that have to be adjudicated as part of those contracts was far, far less. So many of us in healthcare talk about the revenue cycle process, the process of submitting claims to the payers, getting paid for the services we deliver, managing that whole process. In Canada, at the Hospital for Sick Children, which roughly had the same size operating budget, same size net patient service revenue as Tufts Medical Center does, roughly the same number of beds, my entire revenue cycle operation was about $1.5 million. At Tufts Medical Center, it's about $54 million. So that difference is purely to address the complexity of the system that we have created in this country, which is really based on these contractual arrangements between employers and payers, and then between payers and providers, and even sometimes among providers who are doing different parts of the healthcare value chain. It's not clear what we get out of that. If you're a child born with cystic fibrosis in Canada, you live 10 years longer on average than you do if you're a child born with the same condition in the U.S., all other things being equal. There's less disparity in health care in Canada compared to here, although we still see disparity driven by geography and, you know, particularly the remoteness from health care. There is less racial and socioeconomic disparity there than there is here. And there's a more planful way that government can go about addressing that, because at the end of the day, they own the responsibility for ensuring that the population is healthy. So, there are parts of the Canadian system that I found frustrating, that good policies are not always good politics. And, when the government is the single payer and healthcare is such an important public issue, it's very challenging. You know, I think government has a very difficult job balancing all the tensions. And that can be frustrating, whereas in the U.S. there are, you know, a number of different angles to try to address issues through different payers or through the state government, federal government, or through different kinds of business relationships. There's more rules around healthcare in Canada, and that was at times frustrating. But overall, I left with a lot of very favorable thoughts about the Canadian system. And I think from a social justice standpoint, there are a lot of benefits.
Thank you very much. And as you now take yourself forward to now running one of the great academic medical centers in our country, what do you look at when you look at things in terms of your top priorities now? How do you look at your top two or three priorities now, particularly coming out of the surge of COVID, ramping back up? How do you look at strategy and your top three priorities now?
Right. So right before the pandemic hit, we were in the process of bringing our organization through a new strategic plan. And there are really there are four major priorities, but I'll mention three of them. One is to be among the most admired people-focused academic medical centers. And we chose the language very carefully. We spent time deliberating around whether we should be employee-focused, patient-focused, physician-focused. And the reality is you can't do one without the other. And so that has led to a number of initiatives aimed at improving service, but also very important efforts that are aimed at employee engagement and, importantly, diversity, inclusion, and cultural sensitivity. That last body of work has taken on special significance in the last several weeks, but it's work that we recognize was really central to our successful future. So that's one body of work. The second has been to work on a foundation, a rich foundation of high quality and safe care, to become an even more highly reliable organization, and to develop reliability, resilience, and better teamwork through a range of practices that I became familiar with through the time I spent in Philadelphia and in Canada. And that work also has taken on different significance as we have gone through the COVID pandemic and really tested the resilience of an organization that has, like many over the last several months, has had to invent new operating models to address a new disease, and to do so in a way that continues to deliver high quality and safe care without missing a beat in the care of all the other patients that we have a responsibility for. So that's another priority. We have a specific aim to reduce serious preventable harm by 2/3 over the next 3 years. And we'll continue to work through that with or without the COVID pandemic. The third major priority is to become more clinically integrated and digitally connected. That really is driven by the role that we play in high complexity interdisciplinary care. That kind of care requires a great deal of collaboration within the hospital and within our campus, but it also requires a longitudinal collaboration with care providers across the entire healthcare value chain. And the patients that come for a heart transplant don't all come from our immediate neighborhood. They come from all over New England. And we need to be able to have the digital tools to engage patients and referring physicians and collaborating specialists across our industry. And we also need to be able to harness the data that is collected in that process to be able to draw greater insight about how to operate more efficiently, greater insight into how to drive better outcomes, and greater insight into how do we evolve our models of care to be more effective and less costly. Part of that is also thinking about who else is part of that digitally connected network, and what are the other providers or types of organizations that we can partner with formally or informally to make the care better. And so during this pandemic, we really have developed a number of relationships that we were sort of in the contemplative stage of before all this. But you know, we have a new partnership with a company called Medically Home that provides a hospital at home service that has allowed us to avoid hospitalization or to shorten hospitalization without compromising care. Relationships like that, I think, will be even more important over our future as we realize this concept of a digitally connected, clinically integrated network.
Thank you very much. And you had mentioned, Dr. Epcon, a fourth priority. As long as we have you going and you've mentioned that those three, do you mind giving us a sense of what the fourth
one
is?
Sure. The fourth priority is really to amplify the focus that we have on highly complex multidisciplinary care. It's really to look at the opportunities to expand the services that we offer to clinical problems that are sort of adjacent to where we already have great strength, and to ensure that we are really building on the interface between our clinical care, our research programs that are finding innovative solutions to complex problems and novel interventional approaches, and then our teaching programs, which are training the next generation of specialists. And I think around this high complexity multidisciplinary care is where we have the best opportunity to amplify the impact that we have in caring for thousands to have an impact on tens of thousands, hundreds of thousands, or millions through that intersection between exceptional clinical care, research, and teaching.
Thank you very much. Hey, last question. You're now sort of in the Boston, Massachusetts area. You went to Yale, to business school. Any competitive thoughts of Harvard versus Yale?
I very much appreciate the environment, the culture, and the intellectual stimulation that I had at the Yale School of Management and at Yale School of Medicine. I have no basis for comparison, but all I can say is the Yale experience was absolutely exceptional.
It was magnificent. You know, we could have a whole discussion on comparative everything. We did Canada versus the U.S., and we could do Harvard versus Yale, but I have to give you more time to prepare. Dr. Epcon, just a pleasure visiting with you. What great leadership you have at Tufts, and what a great institution. We wish you great success continuing on the way to achieving your mission. Just fantastic. Thank you so much for visiting with us today.
Thank you very much. I enjoyed speaking with you.